Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Daniel de la Pava, and he is from the country of Colombia in the northern part of South America, but now he's living in Chicago, where he's working with the Colombia Support Network, and that's what we're going to be talking about, is what is going on in Colombia right now, which is a pretty serious thing. In the United States, it just gave a whole bunch of our tax money to Colombia, saying that it was about the drug war. So Danielle is going to tell us what he thinks about this and what the Colombia Support Network is all about. And I want to ask you first off, Danielle, I know that you work with the Catholic worker community in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago. And also you have on your card here, Chicago-Cacarica. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yes, Cacarica. It's a funny name. The Cacarica community is an African-Colombian community in the northwestern region, very close to the border with Panama. It's a small community, something like 3,000 people, and they were forcibly displaced by military and paramilitary operations 3 years ago. And what it is unique about these communities in a country with almost 2 million internally displaced people is that for the first time, this community decided to stay together and then decided to get organized and then decided to go back to their homeland. So we are talking about a country with 2 million internally displaced people, and for the first time, a displaced community decides to return to their homelands. And right now, they are on the process of returning. And they are very conscious that they are returning in the midst of the conflict. They are returning to a very similar situation, even a worse situation than when they were displaced 3 years ago. So it's a very, very interesting case in Colombia.
Mm-hmm. What's the population of the whole country of Colombia?
Around 40 million people.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you're going to tell us why they were displaced. But that's amazing. So they were displaced and going back to the same place where they left. So that's quite a statement.
Yes, according to some reports from Amnesty International and other human rights organizations, the reasons behind the displacement, and not just of the Cacarica communities, but other communities on that area, it seems that it is connected with big economic projects. And in this case, specifically, about the big project, the Dry Canal Project, an alternative canal to the Panama Canal on that area in Colombia.
Mm-hmm. And why did they have to leave? Because they were someone's building a canal where they were their houses were.
Well, it seems that there are some plans to build such a big project like the dry canal there, and in addition to the canal, it involves big highways, railroads, and a big infrastructure around the project. And it seems that those communities are kind of an obstacle for such a big project. What happened in 97, it was that the Operation Genesis, a military operation, those communities were bombed, and then the paramilitaries came by river and by land to finally displace them from their homelands.
Mm-hmm. And if they're African people, I imagine it's along the coast, and also if they're building a canal, obviously, because there are a lot of African people of African descent in South America, and usually along coasts, and not everybody knows that.
Yes, that's true, and there is a huge African Colombia population. Some people estimate that perhaps 10 million African Colombians is something that is very unknown for many people. Yes.
That's a whole quarter of the population then.
Yeah, it is. Yes, they took refuge many years ago when slavery was released on that area that is a tropical forest, and it was a very isolated area between the Pacific Sea and the big mountains on the west side. So that was a place where they had the opportunity to have a traditional way of life without having the presence of the state. And what an irony, the first time that the state came, it was just to bomb them and to displace them.
Wow. And what excuse did they have for bombing these folks, the state?
Well, the excuse is always the same. Supposedly it was a military operation against the guerrilla groups and stuff like that.
Mm. So they were saying that these people of African descent were guerrillas in we're fighting against the government. I guess we should just basically, you could describe what's going on in Colombia and why it's the basic dynamic of what's going on and how long it's been going on in terms of the, I don't know, would you call it a civil war?
Well, we have an internal conflict that is going on, has been going on for many years, 40, 50 years. It's a classic class war, if you want. There's something very weird about the conflict in Colombia is that the civilian population became the big target on this conflict. So it is a big war against the poor, against the communities, and against the people's organizations. Now, right now, it seems that the situation is turning in something that perhaps we can call a total civil war, because it has been for a long time a more like low-intensity conflict, but not an open total civil war. But the Plan Colombia is intensifying the internal conflict, and it seems that it is turning on a total civil war right now.
Mm-hmm. And what's Plan Colombia?
Well, Plan Colombia, or the so-called Plan Colombia, is mainly a $1.3 billion package in military aid coming from the government of the United States to the government, the militaries in Colombia. So it's a huge package with a strong military component that is just starting to be implemented in Colombia right now.
Mm-hmm. So am I right in understanding that poor people, peasants, trying to get a larger piece of the pie or some rights, some more economic strength and their government repressing them, and maybe we should put some names in here of different groups. And I mean, I know, having been, we were talking about it before we started on tape here, having been around for a while and been an activist and aware of what's going on in the world for many years, it seems like it's so often the same story all over the world with different names of groups and, you know, different governments, but basically poor people trying to take care of themselves and the ruling class repressing them and the military. So, but do put those particular, if that is the situation, put, you know, explain further and put the names of the groups and the people involved in Colombia.
Yes, we have different actors in the conflict. On the leftist side, we have mainly two big guerrilla groups, the FARC guerrilla that was started around 1964, and the ELN guerrilla that is a little smaller one that was started around 1967 in Colombia. And of course we have the army, the Colombian army, the Colombian military forces, and the paramilitary forces that started as dead squads during the 70s and 80s and recently became a big actor in the conflict. And something that we need to understand is that the paramilitaries are part of a whole strategy of the Colombian state. So we really cannot say that the paramilitaries are something different to the militaries or even the state, because those groups were started and organized by the Colombian state. And it's clear, and if you want a very successful strategy from the Colombian state against the civilian population, and more than that, it's a strategy that was designed implemented from the United States. So it's a strategy that is supporting the United States economic interest and the big corporations' interest. Just to mention an example, on May 2nd, 2000, President Clinton was talking to the Council of the Americas, that is in Washington, D.C., that is a powerful pool of business people. And he was explaining the whole USA policy on Latin America. And after 5 or 6 pages of speech, he ended saying something like, I'm quoting now, "We have to win in Colombia. We have to win the fight for the free trade area of the Americas. We have to prove that freedom and free market go hand in hand." So that is a very clear, straightforward statement about what the USA policy on Colombia is really about. The plans for the free trade area of the Americas for year 2005, and the big obstacle that the social and people organizations and the guerrilla movements in Colombia represent for the free trade plans in America.
So what exactly does that mean, a free trade center for Latin America? That means that, yeah, would you explain more about what that means?
Yes. It is connected with the whole globalization and the whole world free trade strategy of the big corporations to facilitate trade. And Colombia is in a very, very special geographical place. Sometimes Colombia is called the best corner in America, because Colombia has access to both the Pacific and the Atlantic seas, And if you think about the trade in America from Canada to the south, Chile and Argentina, then you need that place, that corner, to be like the center that we will provide services, financial services, information services for the trade. In addition to access with the Dry Canal project to both the Pacific and the Atlantic Sea.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. They're building a canal, for one thing. I mean, there's so many things I want to ask you about, but why this canal? What's happening with the Panama Canal? Need a new canal?
Yes, two main things with the Panama Canal. The first one is that the Panama Canal is an old canal. It's a small canal for what is needed now. And the second point is that the Panama Canal is back in the hands of the people from Panama. It doesn't belong to the United States. So the United States needs another bigger canal that he could have control of.
So this canal would belong to the United States officially?
Well,
or unofficially.
That's part of what is going on. I mean, yeah, officially, of course, it will belong to Colombia, but obviously the United States is setting a huge network of military presence around the area that includes a big military base in Manta, Ecuador, very close to the border with Colombia, that in some way is replacing the military bases in Panama, and another big military bases, the islands of Aruba and Curaçao, close to Venezuela, and more recently opening the military base in El Salvador, not to mention the military installations in Puerto Rico. So there's a big network of military presence of the United States around the area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could. The more you're talking, Danielle de la Pava, the more I can see that the sisters, community of Cacarica, the people going back to reclaim where they lived in the middle of all this military is really no small thing. And I want to ask you also to give, to talk more about what the Colombia support network is and what's going on in terms of what people are doing to counter, I guess, probably being pushed off their land a lot. I personally have interviewed some UWA people who some of the audience might know, or the people who, indigenous people in the mountains, I think of, I'm not sure if it's the mountains, but in Colombia, who have said that they would all commit suicide rather than have Oxy, I think the oil company Oxy, which is based in Los Angeles, drill. And I know that the oil company is drilling and that the military has been killing a lot of people. And, of course, when the oil is drilled for and we're also addicted to oil, there's a lot of really horrible effects on the people, the humans that work there, and all the life and the whole environment around it. So I know something about that, but you could talk about any of these things. It sounds like there's just so much going on in Colombia that we need to know about and probably don't know.
Yes, if we talk about the UWA people, that is a very well-known case here in the United States. We are talking about the interest of the big oil companies, specifically the Occidental Petroleum Company interest in that area. If we talk about the African Colombian displaced communities from the Cacarica River Basin, we are talking about the big project for a new canal. And it's always the same. Anytime that we hear about massacres in Colombia, forced displacement, and these kind of things, there's always a clear economic interest behind. So we are not talking about crazy people that is just killing each other like crazies. No, there's always a clear economic rationale behind those events.
And I've heard Colombia being spoken of, and as I said in the beginning, how much money from our tax money has gone to Colombia? Over $1 billion, right?
$1.3 billion. So we are almost talking about money now on Colombia. Right. Yep.
And anyway, that it's been referred to as the U.S. involvement being like Vietnam, and that Colombia has been likened to Vietnam in terms of the political and military dynamics going on there. Could you speak about that? And that's why we should know about it. Of course, in the beginning of the war in Vietnam, too, it went on for some years, and the United States was supporting it secretly, actually, for some years before it came out into the public. And it took basically activists, of which I was one at the time, to bring it out into the open, and people should know what's happening with their tax money in the United States. And of course, this affects everybody, not just people in the United States.
Yes, for many people, the situation in Colombia and the U.S. Involvement there looks like what was going on in Vietnam at some point before it became a very public issue. What is clear is that Colombia is a matter of national security interest for the United States right now. President Clinton, former President Clinton, and the Department of State, people in the Congress of the United States, they all agree saying that what they are talking about is about the national security interest in the United States of the United States. And you know, when the Department of State or the President of the United States or Congress people, when they mention national security, it's like a key word that has a very serious meaning.
It's supposed to make it sound like it's important to the safety of the people in the United States. Is that so?
Yes, and at the same time, it means that the United States is ready for everything. So when we talk about national security interest in the United States, we can expect easily big things to happen soon there. So we are not talking just about another conflict. We are talking about a very serious issue for the United States.
Oh, are you saying that they're using this excuse to go get really involved in a more open way? Is that what you're meaning to say?
Well, the reality is that the United States is actually very, very involved. For example, they have almost 500 military advisors. They are training three battalions, Colombian army battalions, with 1,000 people each one. They are using the military base in Manta, Ecuador, to run intelligence and surveillance activities. They are sharing intelligence information with the Colombia Army. They are hiring independent military contractors to go there for the fumigation, spraying, and other activities. The only thing that is different to Vietnam is that they are not sending their boys there. So they learned that from Vietnam. But beyond that, it's a very, very heavy military involvement in Colombia right now.
With money and supplies and training. And lots of people are getting killed?
In Colombia? Yes, yes. The violence in Colombia is really horrifying. If we talk about the political violence, it's estimated that more than 3,000 people is killed every year for political reasons, not counting many people that is killed by the violence, not necessarily for a political reason. And the political violence is not necessarily the biggest violence in Colombia. Now, during the last 5 months, more than 300 massacres happened in Colombia. And we define massacre when four or more people is killed at the same time, at the same place, for the same people, on the same situation. So massacres became an everyday stuff. Every day you get reports and news, one, two, or three massacres a day. So, yes, the violence, and specifically the political violence in Colombia, is amazing. And it's a paradox, but not too many people, you could think that many people die in combats, but not. The reality is that those who are killed in combat is a very, very small percent, because the violence is oriented against the civilian population.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're running out of time, and we haven't even mentioned the drug war, so-called drug war, and its role in all this. And the United States, I'm sure, talks about it a lot. So I don't know if you could say something really quickly, Danielle.
Well, we think that the drug war is just a cover-up for the real economic interest on the area. So years ago, those situations were presented in the context of the Cold War. And of course, you cannot justify it now with a Cold War. Now the drugs war is playing the same role that the Cold War played before, to justify these kind of things, to support economic interest in this area or another area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Danielle de la Pava, maybe could tell us real quick about the Columbia Support Network with which you work, and what you would like people, what kind of support you would like.
Yes, the Columbia Support Network is a national grassroots organization in the United States, and we have local chapters in many different cities. We have a sister community projects with communities and grassroots organizations in Colombia. So each chapter in the United States has a sister community in Colombia. It's a way to have a direct people-to-people contact and understanding of the situation in Colombia. Since last year, we are completely focused in opposing, or even better, rejecting the Plan Colombia, or the so-called Plan Colombia, and trying to educate the public in the United States about the real reasons of the conflict in Colombia and the impact of the U.S. foreign policy there.
Okay. So real quick, phone number, web page, or something, contact for how you reach the Columbia Support Network?
Yes, you can check the www.columbiasupport.net, our website on the internet, or you can contact our national office in Madison, Wisconsin, at the email csn@igc.org.
csn.igc.org. Okay, thank you very much, Danielle de la Pava.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And my name is Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.